provide a lot of interesting things for this time. So I hope you keep interviewing other artists.
Someday we'll be together and we can give each other a hug. How's that?
That sounds good.
That's it for Stage and Studio. Hear this show again at stageandstudio.org, kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also subscribe to a podcast on iTunes and like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more music by David Arnett Cherry at davidarnettcherry.com.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You're tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Community Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM and online at kboo.fm. I'm your host, Amanda Clem, and today our program is going to be slightly different than our usual interview, but contain many of the same elements. It is summertime in Portland during the COVID-19 pandemic, and while this show used to either air live or be recorded in person in the KBOO studio, we've had to adapt. Zoom has become a standard tool, and digitized recorded phone interviews a super reliable resource. My Art Focus co-host Joseph Gallivan has even done some in-person interviews wearing masks and gloves in the galleries where they could maintain a greater social distance than in the studio space. This has become a very familiar story to everyone listening because we've all had to adapt and make changes in the way we live our lives and work. My day job is working as the membership and gallery manager at Blue Sky on the North Park blocks, and we closed the gallery in early March for public safety, turning all of our programming virtual. Blue Sky is a photography gallery, and while I'll always defend the stance that it is better to see a work of art in person if you can, photography actually really lends itself to a digital viewing experience over, say, a sculpture or a painting. Blue Sky usually exhibits 2 solo shows every month, a constant rotation of mostly contemporary photography, and we have been so fortunate that most of our exhibiting artists have been able to make the trip to Portland to be here for their first Thursday opening receptions and to give artist talks to our community members. Obviously, those events are not taking place as usual. Instead, we are using Instagram Live and Zoom as platforms to engage with our artists and viewers. And these have been really fun ways to check in with the artists that we've exhibited years ago, as well as with artists whose shows had to be rescheduled due to the pandemic. As it happens, in March, Blue Sky opened an exhibition called Master of Appropriation, found photography in the work of John Baldessari from the collection of Jordan D. Schnitzer and his family foundation. The show highlights the iconic conceptual artist's use of photography from the 1980s to the 2010s. Master of Appropriation comes at a pivotal time after John Baldessari's passing earlier this year. This brings me to today's Art Focus program. We are going to hear from my colleague Zemi Barr, Blue Sky's exhibitions manager and the curator of Master of Appropriation, as she talks about each of the pieces on view right now at the gallery. The curatorial tour was produced during the first month of sheltering in place, because with so much unknown, we wanted to give our community a more in-depth look at the works on view, even if they couldn't be seen in person. So as a result, the prints are described in great detail, and I knew that it would translate well to radio. Let's hear from Zemi.
I'm Zemi Barr, the exhibitions manager at Blue Sky, and it's a pleasure to be able to share some of my thoughts about a project that has been in the works for quite some time. It's a little ironic that John Baldessari's work is being shown at Blue Sky, a gallery dedicated to photography, because when he first started making art, he didn't want to be labeled a photographer, but rather as an artist that worked with photography. But perhaps this setup is perfect for an artist who also brought a sense of humor into his work, as he focused on the absurdity of life, as well as the seemingly arbitrary ways that meaning is created through text and images. The name of the exhibition, Master of Appropriation, is one of many informal titles that the artist has received over the years due to his use of found imagery in his work. This process of borrowing images for art making is not new. Artists have been recycling images, text, and ideas for a long time, but Baldessari does it in a way that is decidedly his own. When approaching the artist's works, I think it's helpful to think of viewing them as a game, one that asks us as viewers to fill in the blanks that the artist has left out, keeping in mind that we may never definitively solve the conceptual or visual puzzle. For me, the process of trying to get there is where the fun is, so I'm looking forward to nerding out a little bit with all of you and sharing some of my insights into the prints on view. We have two galleries for exhibiting work at Blue Sky, and the show is sequenced chronologically with the artist's earliest works beginning in the front gallery. Although this is not the most adventurous curatorial structure, I wanted to give those less familiar with Baldessari an idea of how his process of working with found imagery has progressed over time. The earliest piece we have on view is one of the first things you will see when you walk into the first gallery. It is called Black Dice from 1982, and it is Baldessari's first experimentation with the printmaking techniques of etching and aquatint. Unlike many of his other works in our show, it contains a great deal of the artist's direct mark making on the etching plates that were used to make this portfolio. This is why I'm drawn to this piece. It's probably the most abstract and painterly work on view, yet photography still plays an important role. Baldessari began by creating 9 photo etchings using a film still from the 1948 film Black Dice, originally released as Note Orchids for Miss Blandish in the UK, and based on a risque crime novel of the same name. Intended to be installed in a 3x3 grid to reference the original image, each print contains a recognizable element from the photograph, such as a lamp or telephone, yet the artist's additional gestures, made with various etching techniques, work to disorient the viewer. The faces from the original film still are also left out of the etchings, a choice that seems to be a precursor to Baldessari's use of colorful dots to cover faces. All of these interventions discourage attaching narrative or emotional content to the work, and instead move the focus to visual play. Speaking of play, much of the artist's work focuses on systems and numbering, but in a way that often seems arbitrary or unnecessarily detailed. Baldessari often seems to be poking fun at the assumed seriousness of organizing information in this way. A few excellent examples of this are in the front room, and they are called 2 Unfinished Letters and 6 Colorful Gags, Mail. In 2 Unfinished Letters, the title is confusing because we are presented with a 4x2 grid of 8 images of hands holding letters. The original images, most likely taken from found film stills, have been translated into black and white lithographs, with blocks of bright, screen-printed color covering 6 of these letters. This becomes yet another one of Baldessari's visual challenges for the viewer. Are we seeing only 2 letters, photographed multiple times? The progression of movement from frame to frame has a cinematic feel, suggesting that perhaps this composition is meant to mimic 2 film strips of stacked images pushed together. Much like 2 Unfinished Letters, which is dated 1992 to 1993, 6 Colorful Gags, Mail, from around the same time, 1991, brings together found images, most likely film stills, that are cropped and altered through various printmaking processes and reconfigured into a grid. Here, the title also presents a bit of a riddle for the viewer. Gags can refer to the hands or other objects silencing the 6 pictured men, but this word can also mean a joke. Similarly, the print is visibly colorful, thanks to the artist's use of aquatint, but colorful can also mean lively or exciting. It's hard to know if what is happening in each image is just a joke, or something more sinister, or a little bit of both, but Baldessari leaves it to us as viewers to decide for ourselves. Moving on to the next wall, we see Hand and Chin with entwined hands, which is part of the same portfolio as 6 Colorful Gags, which was made at Crown Point Press in San Francisco, also in 1991. You can probably see the aesthetic similarities due to the same photogravure and aquatint techniques. If you look closely, you'll also notice that the top image appears right side up, and the lower one seems to be placed upside down, creating a somewhat ambiguous composition. Baldessari's descriptive title gives us a clue, but again, it is what he leaves out, or what seems a little off, that the artist is wanting us to try to puzzle out. Love and Work, also from 1991, is another puzzle with clues provided in the title. In this narrow, vertical print, an out-of-focus image of what seems to be a framed piece of art floats at the top, with a long section of black ink leading the eye to two sets of clasped hands at the bottom. The narrowness of the composition accentuates the distance separating the art in the background, which I interpret as the representation of work, as in work of art, as well as Baldessari's profession, from the hands in the foreground, which it seems reasonable to assume symbolize love. In addition to the distance, there is an imbalance between the two components, with work out of focus and love in focus. Right now, this imbalance seems particularly apropos, as we are currently coping with drastic changes to the ways we work and love as we attempt to slow the spread of COVID-19. This and the three previously mentioned pieces might suggest that the artist is obsessed with hands, but Baldessari has isolated and elevated a range of body parts, such as noses, ears, and even toes, to the primary focus of his compositions throughout his career. However, Baldessari's focus on the relationship between parts and the larger whole has not been limited to the body. It is also evident in Money with Space Between, one of the two works in the show from the series, A French Horn Player, A Square Blue Moon, and Other Subjects, made between 1991 and 1994. As you can see, Money with Space Between consists of one image that has been printed in two parts. This severs the stack of banknotes and separates the two individuals. Yet it becomes clear that both parts of the image, especially keeping the money intact, are required for the transaction pictured here to work. In addition, this piece introduces what has become a signature Baldessari technique, covering faces with colorful dots. As I mentioned previously when discussing black dice, the artist started doing this to remove emotions suggested by facial expressions, while also forcing viewers to pay attention to other parts of the image. In this work, and in French Horn Player, with three contexts, one uncoded, if you look up close, you can see that the dots are not completely solid, but instead reveal the artist's mark-making. The colors of the dots also have meaning based on a code Baldessari devised early on that continues throughout his work. Red signifies danger, green, safety, yellow means chaos or madness, and blue, perfection. As mentioned in the title, French Horn Player, with three contexts, one uncoded, contains one image, the top one, without a dot, which happens to be a fairly recognizable still from Star Wars Episode 4, depicting an Imperial Star Destroyer. Perhaps that is coded enough. In the other images, moving down the vertical line, the artist has placed a red dot for danger that obscures what, or who, lies at the end of the road, a blue dot for perfection over the French horn player's face, and a yellow dot for chaos over the person or people at one end of the canoe while bears take up the other side. These discs of color, along with the alternating dark backgrounds with bright outdoor scenes, almost mimic the rhythm of music, as seemingly disparate images are merged together into a new narrative or composition. If we turn back to Money with Space Between, the person holding the stack of bills is marked by danger, while the other is marked by chaos. How does this enhance your initial reading of the work? We have now walked through the first half of the exhibition, which focuses on the artist's work made before the year 2000. Before we transition into the back gallery, there are two pieces from the artist's 2001 Intersection series that are installed across from our Pacific Northwest drawers that I'd like to talk about. Unlike the rest of the work on view, the Intersection series contains found imagery without any additional printmaking techniques or text. In each print, a narrow horizontal image overlays a vertical one, with the elements from both images merging at the point where they intersect. The portfolio, which contains 12 digital prints in all, is also unlike others in the show because Baldessari printed it himself in his studio in Santa Monica. In Statue Bound Person, a vertical image of a nude female statue in a playful nymph-like pose is combined with a horizontal image of a human body tightly restrained by rope. There is a contrast here between the violent image of the body that is rendered immobile and the sculpture that suggests vitality and movement. Yet, like many of Baldessari's works, this visual play also contains the edge of social critique. His pairing of a statue that depicts an idealized female form with a body bound with rope leads me to think of the ways women have been depicted and restricted by this role of the often naked object of the male gaze throughout the history of Western art. Hand with cigarette, bottle, buns, astronaut with four other persons, tackles work and home life, a dynamic that has come up before with Love and Work in the last tour. In this piece, Baldessari combines a horizontal section from a domestic interior scene with what looks like a workplace, perhaps NASA, that many of us may recognize because of the astronaut suit. Maybe this is simply a visualization of how home and work, or the private and public spheres, overlap. Or could it also be something more cynical, like the dream of becoming an astronaut overshadowed by the reality of one's life, made easier by a cigarette, booze, and bread? After intersections, Baldessari continued working with narrow vertical and horizontal sections of found photographs, in some narrow views, either tall or wide, from 2004, which leads us into the back gallery space. The intimately sized portfolio of 10 prints contains 5 vertical photogravures with letterpress text underneath and 5 horizontal images and corresponding text created using the same processes. Because each print only contains one image, what the artist chooses to highlight through cropping becomes elevated in importance, while the text below creates another layer of meaning for us to consider in relation to the image. For instance, in Stuff, Baldessari has selected from an image a vertical section that we may have overlooked, if not for his cropping. You can see a person's elbow is still visible near the left edge, providing a hint that the focus, or what the eye would have been drawn to in the original image, may have been the person attached to this elbow. Similarly, in Abandoned, Baldessari's horizontal crop centers on a suitcase or briefcase left on a sidewalk, perhaps a detail that we would have missed if not for his visual prompting. However, if we look at Temptation, the added text is not pushing us to notice something we otherwise would have overlooked, but instead to find the relationship between this word and what is happening in the image. Is the money the woman holds a temptation because it belongs to someone else, or she plans to spend it irresponsibly? Or has Baldessari added this narrative layer over an image of a woman who is simply counting her cash? Moving to the next wall, we have 2 pieces from Baldessari's most recent series in this exhibition. Front Row is a portfolio of screen prints from 2015 that Baldessari made using photos from fall 2014 runway shows in Paris. Karl Lagerfeld is a particularly interesting work in this series. The original image is a promotional outtake from Chanel's supermarket set for their fall 2014 ready-to-wear show. Baldessari's screen print version simply highlights the bizarre juxtapositions the original photographer unintentionally captured. Karl Lagerfeld, the late fashion designer, is posing with a shopping cart on Chanel's supermarket set, dressed all in black with dark sunglasses. The only other elements the artist leaves in the composition are a shelf of nondescript items behind Lagerfeld and the silhouette of a woman in the distance. For this celebrity fashion designer, the supermarket is a novel and innovative setting for his ready-to-wear collection. Baldessari seems to be poking fun at Lagerfeld by drawing attention to the black silhouette of an anonymous woman in the background, emphasizing the designer's remove, in more ways than one, from those who might actually shop in a supermarket. Numbered Legs updates some of the visual and conceptual elements one expects to find in Baldessari's work, such as numbering. You can see that each foot is actually marked with a number here, and obscuring faces. But now the artist retains the outlines of these faces and fills them with a range of primary and pastel colors. Each person viewing the Miu Miu show from the front row is now anonymous, so we are free to focus on their legs, and perhaps more importantly, their fashionable shoes. As Baldessari explained in an interview with Harper's Bazaar, this is really a lineup of shoes. It's just a quantitative picture, 16 shoes. However, I would argue it's not just a quantitative picture. It also draws attention to the social dynamics happening off the runway, among celebrities and fashion enthusiasts. Any status associated with being seen in the front row has been erased along with the faces, with each person now reduced to just another person in the crowd, with great shoes. Continuing his focus on the relationship between parts and the larger whole, especially when considering the body, Aldasari created his Noses and Ears, etc. series. We have one print on view from this portfolio, Couple and Man with Gun, in which the artist isolates noses and ears while also combining somewhat conflicting subject matter. In the left panel, he has transformed an image of two people embracing into a color lithograph, with the nose of the person on the left nude against the green color covering the rest of the face, while the shape of the other person's nose is filled in with red. On the right side of the print, a pink, almost red face with a yellow nose floats on a black background, while a blue hand holds a gun that retains some of its photorealism. Combining love or lust on the left with the man and gun on the right isn't that unusual, as sex and violence are often conflated in various forms of media, yet a tension between the two images remains nonetheless. The pairing makes me pause to think more deeply about why sex and violence so often overlap. Is this a reflection upon toxic masculinity? It is also worth noting that this piece is printed in two pieces, rather than just on one sheet, with the print on the left slightly overlapping the one on the right. Could this be a subtle indication that the connection between sex and violence is not necessarily a given, that it can be severed? Baldessari's 2014 series, The News, includes a similar push and pull between opposing concepts, but in this series, he returns to his focus on the relationship between text and images. Each screen print in The News combines an image sourced from a daily newspaper. The text below each image are the artist's own descriptions of another image found in the same newspaper. Not surprisingly, these disjointed pairings create a dissonance between image and text that forces us to reconsider what is being depicted. When viewing four young people looking at pieces of paper, it is soon clear that the caption does not reflect what is depicted above. There are two people in the image, not four, and their ages are not easily discernible or really relevant. As usual, Baldessari obscures visual information through the screen printing process, muddying our reading of the original image. With clues he does provide us, it seems that this is the scene of a crime, or perhaps the aftermath of a serious car crash, with two police officers investigating. The badge on the officer facing us is simply a blurry yellow circle, but its color and placement lead me to that reading. There are also white squares with numbers near one of the blue truck's tires, which may be crime scene markers, along with two red bars that divide up the image's composition, much like yellow police tape might have done to the original image. If we come back to Baldessari's caption, four young people looking at pieces of paper, it is not only unrelated, but also rather benign in comparison to the aftermath of destruction or violence that we see in the image. Baldessari seems to be pushing us to be more aware and critical of how information is being delivered, and especially how context affects the meaning of the text and images that we digest. Following this train of thought, in Three Men Leaving House, Flower Planters Near Door, we see three men, faces covered. They are embroiled in a conflict, with what looks like tear gas and projectiles flying about their heads. The text below the image is somewhat accurate, at least for the first line, but the phrase, Flower Planters Near Door, is almost jarring, with this description of serene domesticity in stark contrast to the violent scene above. Did these men leave their houses with flower planters near the door before being photographed here? Although the text describes another photograph, Baldessari's caption allows these two realities to coexist, humanizing the men in the photo and giving them backstories beyond this one moment in time. The final piece I'm going to talk about in this exhibition is Two Foreheads, One Green, from the artist's Raised Eyebrows, Furrowed Foreheads series. It includes a dramatic combination of two images in which yet another section of the body has been isolated. For the top image, Baldessari has translated a black and white image of a heavily lined forehead into a lithograph, exaggerating the many wrinkles in purple on top of the ghoulishly green skin. In contrast, the bottom image of a younger woman includes her eyes and raised eyebrows, along with a single line highlighted in green on her forehead. The visual comparison of old and young seems obvious, with this illustration of the toll time takes on the body morphing into a surreal, exquisite corpse composition. As facial expressions, raised eyebrows and furrowed brows can also communicate worry, skepticism, or surprise. Although this particular piece may not illustrate this as forcefully as the other works in the series, it seems worth noting. The series Raised Eyebrows, Furrowed Foreheads was created in 2008 and 2009 during the last major recession, and Baldessari has been quoted as saying, "Aren't we all worried? These works may be viewed as depicting that condition. I find it helpful to see this piece within its historical context because, as we are again worried about what the future will hold, it is a consolation to know that artists have always been and will continue creating work in response to the current moment. Although John Baldessari is no longer with us, in 10 years from now, we may look back on what other artists are making now and remember how we made it through together.
You've been listening to my colleague Zemi Bar lead us through a curatorial tour of the exhibition Master of Appropriation, Found Photography in the Work of John Baldessari from the collection of Jordan Schnitzer and his family foundation. I hope you've enjoyed today's variation on the Art Focus program. Thank you for listening. You can visit the Blue Sky Gallery website at blueskygallery.org to watch the video version of this curatorial walkthrough with images from the show, and or you could come see the work in person. Yes, like many art galleries in Portland, Blue Sky is now open by appointment, and Master of Appropriation will be on view until Sunday, August 30th. You can reserve your spot via blueskygallery.org/appointments. Many galleries, like I just said, are open by appointment now, and most are still producing virtual programming. So I'd like to take this moment to encourage you all to check in with your favorite art gallery and see what they're up to. I'm Amanda Clem, and you have been listening to Art Focus on KBOO 90.7 FM, KBOO Community Radio.
Like to take a cement fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When he wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Thank you.
sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7.